Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Brooklyn Storm. It is so great to be here. It feels like I've been away for a year. I live in a suburb called Mount Eliza, which is on the east coast of Victoria in Australia. And we had really strong storms here about a week ago. And as a result of that, there was a lot of storm damage to my house and my property. And we had a live wire on the yard for a full 7 days, smoking its little heart out. It was very scary. No power. All the food had to get thrown out of the fridge. We couldn't leave the house because we weren't allowed anywhere near this live wire. So we were completely housebound and just living off non-perishables, cold spaghetti, cold beans, tins of asparagus and beetroot, just anything that we could empty from the pantry, basically. Just about everything in this house is run on electricity, not gas. And our brand new gas heater that I had installed, we had this beautiful ducted heating installed about 3 months ago now. Yeah, that although that was gas, to turn it on requires electricity. So yeah, and I had no way of getting in touch with their people, and I have quite a strong visibility, quite a strong presence in my communities, which happen to be online, like in Facebook. And I was heartbroken because I really wanted to be able to let everybody know what was going on and stuff like that. I had appointments that needed to be cancelled and rescheduled, and I was just so lucky because a neighbour up the back had a battery pack, and I think there are about 3 or 4 different houses that were living off that one battery pack. So I was able to ask if I could borrow it, and then day by day I was cancelling and rescheduling clients, and I was just copying and pasting the same text message into everyone's email, just saying storm damage, no power, sorry it's been cancelled, please reschedule. And I was just praying that people would understand something was going on. I was so thankful for the battery pack that became the community battery pack. And do you know what? It was so interesting because the line got fixed yesterday around lunchtime, it was early afternoon. And then I was, of course, the first thing that I did was I wanted to check my emails and I wanted to check Facebook and messages and catch up. And I have to say, it was just so I'm going to sound a bit kitsch here, but it just made my heart so happy to see so many people sending messages of care and people that I hadn't expected, and it made me feel valued, and it made me feel like, yeah, maybe I am having an impact with what I do. And it made me feel connected, and, it made me feel, I felt good in a way receiving all of that, if that makes any sense. But it just, I guess it just reinforced this is my purpose doing this work, and this is my truth, and this is exactly where I need to be. The other thing that came up from that, of course, from that whole experience where people were sort of saying to me, oh, it must have been terrible to be without power. 1 week, it's such a long time. And do you know what? There are still houses here in Mount Eliza that don't have power. And you know what? When it first happened, it was kind of like an inconvenience and it was frustrating. And, you know, the first 24 hours came and went. And that's probably the first time I've been without power in Australia for one day. And it felt, yeah, just like this huge inconvenience. A day two, we expected that it was going to come back on and it didn't. And it was, I think, about halfway through day two that I started to say, well, this is an opportunity to lean into my spirituality, right? All of the things that I've been talking about with you. And I thought, I wonder if I can apply them here. And of course you can apply them in real life. So it gave me something to think about and mull over. And I thought, okay, what would that look like? So I began with, how is this happening for me instead of to me? And I realized maybe the universe cut my power in a way to give me a break. And maybe the universe cut my power so that I could get back outside. Because when you're working, well, as all of you know, especially if you're working 100% online from home, you have to sort of make a very big conscious effort to get outside, don't you? And sometimes that doesn't happen for me. So I was able to connect again with earth and nature and all those sorts of things. I had to go outside and I had to break up branches out the back that had fallen, and I had to sweep out the back where leaves and sticks and all that sort of stuff had fallen. And once I cleaned up all of that, there's a big gardening area out the back of the house, and it was just in a state of disarray. And I thought, you know what, I can make this really, really nice. And so I just potted around and I moved pots and I put new tap fittings on the tap. And do you know what I mean? And it was just like I realized that I had something in me that was like, you can't just sit down for 24 hours. You've got to be moving and you've got to do something and you've got to find a way. And it was just really lovely, because after I spent so much time outside, I was then able to go outside with Gabe, and we put a picnic blanket out. So our backyard is terraced, and put a picnic blanket up the top there, and took a book. And it was a book that I've been loving reading. It's Mary Magdalene Revealed. If you have an academic curiosity in the role of women in spirituality and stuff like this, I highly recommend it. You can get the book on, well, I think I got it off Book Depository because it's free postage, but it's by Megan Waterson. She's a feminist theologian. And the book isn't feminist at all, but it's, oh, look, I'm not going to give you a spoiler alert, but I think that you would really appreciate it. To me, what it represented was a real integration of the masculine and the feminine. And it kind of talks about, you know, the masculine, the representation of the masculine through the canons that were assembled for the Bible. And then it talks about how the role of women and the role of Mary and all of this sort of stuff was omitted for political reasons and stuff like that. And it's just such an interesting academic read. You don't need to be religious to read it. It's very expansive. And you know me, I love to study all different belief systems. And I believe, for me, the more I study, the more I learn, the more my mind expands. And I'm about that sort of growth. So yeah, it was absolutely my cup of tea. But the point is that I got to actually sit down and finish the book. And it felt really good to do that too. And the other thing that I did was I had a deck of Uno cards that I hadn't opened up. And I taught my mum how to play Uno. And so we would spend hours just sort of sitting at the kitchen table playing Uno. And it was really, 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 really nice, because we were able to have different conversations while we played that game. It felt nice for me to be able to spend that time with her without the distraction of the TV or any work on my mind or things like that. I was able to be more present. And so to have this go on, this situation with power go on for a week, has been transformational. It's taught me a lot. It's really provided me with a lot of opportunities for introspection. And one of the things that I want to share with you today is, it's referred to as the seven stages of spiritual alchemy. And the reason that I want to share this with you is because alchemy, like to alchemize something, you know, colloquially we hear this term and we associate it with, trying to transform base metals into gold. But when it comes to spirituality, we know that that's energy, don't we? And so spiritual alchemy is the process of taking what you're experiencing and transforming that into something else. And it's believed that there are seven stages of this alchemization process. So what I'd love to do today is share with you what those seven stages are. So if you'd like to hit pause on the podcast and maybe grab a pen and paper, because I'll do my best to explain what they are. And then at the end, maybe you can see in terms of any situation you might be in at the moment, you can have a look and you can see where in the seven stages of alchemizing that energy or transforming your perception of what's going on or transforming your experience, kind of like I did with what happened with the power outage. And you will know then what the next step is to take. Okay. So the first step of spiritual alchemy is something called calcination. Okay. So a lot of the terms that I'm going to use with you sound very scientific, and that's because alchemy comes from the scientific world. But calcination is essentially when something is taken apart, separated, unpacked. So it's kind of like when it comes to us and our ego and our spirit and our energy, it involves a dismantling of our selves, especially of the parts of ourselves that are standing in the way of our own alignment, of our own joy, of our own happiness. So this can often represent a stage, and I'll relate it to private practice for you, but this can relate to other work or life or other situations. But it can represent the stage where we start to break down our ego mindset by doing things like shining a light on the self-doubt that we experience, by stepping up and looking at, what am I resisting here? What am I not willing to let go of here? It can also, when we think of ego, we think of other things like, you know, if we get hurt by something that relates to, pride. It can also relate to where in the business, where in the practice are we sabotaging or undermining our success because of things like fear, okay? And when we can, really break those parts down, what happens then is we are then able to get to the bottom. We're then able to get to the underlying cause of those things, okay? So it's where, for example, unpacking a limiting belief, you know, and doing that downward arrow technique where we say, oh, well, what if it's not good enough? Well, what would it mean if it wasn't good enough? Well, that would mean that, you know, no one's going to book in with me. And what would that mean if no one's going to book in with you? Well, that would mean that I wouldn't have a business. And what would that mean if you didn't have a business? Well, that would mean that I'd failed. And what would that mean if you'd failed? Well, that would mean that I was no good. And do you know what I mean? And we get to that crux of the matter. And then that leads us into the second stage of spiritual alchemy, which is dissolving things, okay? So here, when we're looking at this stage of dissolution, what happens is we're starting to step into a space of spiritual maturity. We are starting to develop this emotional intelligence, this EQ, right? We're developing this emotional intelligence because we start to acknowledge things that begin to rise up to the surface, okay? So as a result of doing that first step, you're going to be going deeper And that's where, you know, this thing is going to be, this belief is going to be, this unwanted belief that's holding you back is going to be. And, you know, it's there because for some reason, perhaps we didn't take responsibility for it. We haven't been in that, you know, the four stages of consciousness. We're kind of still in the to me consciousness. We haven't yet stepped into by me. We do things like block things out that are painful or traumatic to remember. We compartmentalize things. We put things on the back burner. We avoid looking at things that are hurtful or painful, okay? But there comes a point in this stage of dissolution where we start to become aware of how our behavior could be affecting people around us. So, for example, if you have, you know, if you're harboring this belief about not being good enough, you start at some point in the business, in the practice, to get an inkling of, oh my gosh, the way I'm behaving as a result of not feeling good enough is starting to really impact others. And maybe that looks like you're putting extra pressure on them to perform, or maybe you want them to have a really high retention rate, or maybe you want them to be calling in so many referrals or setting you know, unrealistic goals, like setting them up to fail. Or maybe you're being really critical of team members when you're having your review, or maybe you're being very critical of yourself, you know, not acknowledging your own process. So that's stage two. And when we start to have that awareness of, you know, maybe I need to change, maybe this isn't good, we move into stage three, which is the stage of separation. And separation is an interesting one because it's here we begin to experience a sense of frustration with ourselves, sometimes with others, but usually it's frustration with ourselves, or it's we feel mad with ourselves, or we feel like we've let ourselves down. And this comes about because we've now become aware of our genuine feelings for ourselves. You know, we've become aware, and maybe we've become aware through one of our soul practices, like journaling, or like connecting with your higher consciousness, or connecting with your higher purpose, or your higher self, or source, or spirit, or God, or whatever verbiage that you choose to use. Okay. And this is a really, really, really powerful stage for us to be in, because it's part of the process, but it's unlike what you would expect. You would normally expect that once we become aware of what's true for us and of how we really feel about things, that would be very freeing and liberating. But in this stage, it's like a micro stage, we acknowledge here that frustration that can come along with realizing what's happened as a consequence of hiding or compromising our feelings for ourselves and sometimes for others, okay? So we don't go back to doing things that we think are socially right. You know how we learn, you know, these sayings like you should forgive and forget, or you should do those things because they're the right things to do, but on the inside you're still feeling that discomfort, you're still feeling a bit, you know you should forgive and forget because it's the right thing to do, everyone says, yet there's still this knuckle of frustration and anger and disappointment and madness and you know, all those sort of low vibe emotions sort of sitting there. So that's what this stage of separation is about. It's about connecting back with what's true for you and allowing yourself to really experience how you feel about yourself as a result of compromising who you are. And then we have stage four, and stage four is referred to as conjunction. It's the conjunction stage. And this is a very, 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 very powerful stage. And you know what? You can achieve this stage through journaling, through meditation. I don't know how you go with meditation. I'm not great meditating without guidance. So for me, I need a guided meditation to support me in this, or I need really solid journaling prompts that are very focused, that are going to get my mind thinking about all of this stuff. But basically, conjunction is where we allow ourselves to connect into that heart space, into that soul space. We're not worried about anything on the external. We're not worried about fear. We're not worried about judgment. We're not worried about other people. We're not worried about approval or anything like that. Conjunction allows us to sit in our inner space, in that heart space, with what's coming up for us. And understand that, yeah, it's probably going to be ugly because we're looking at the shadow, okay? But we also understand that we need to sit with this. We need to illuminate that shadow in order to accept all parts of who we are. And so when we're in this stage of spiritual alchemy, it's when you experience so many previously unconscious thoughts and feelings rise up to the surface into your conscious awareness. This is where you have that, oh my gosh, I get it now. Oh, I see that. Oh, I can see how this came about. This is almost like a light bulb stage. You can actually have your light bulb moment in stage four, this conjunction phase, okay? But as I said, the best way to work through stage four is through journaling or is through meditation. If you're not someone who can sit and connect with your inner self or higher self or source or spirit or God in those ways, maybe you're more of a feminine energy, divine feminine energy oriented person, that's okay. In that case, move, walk, connect with nature, walk barefoot in the water at the beach, sit on the sand, put your bare feet on the grass, soak up the sun, listen to the birds, or get creative. Paint something, create something, bake something, write something, sing something. Do you know what I mean? And then from stage four, we move into stage five. And stage five is fermentation. Just as the name sort of, you know, when we think about fermenting things, we think about preserving things, don't we? But here in the process of spiritual alchemy, this is actually the beginning now of what's referred to as rebirth, okay? It's this new awareness, this new consciousness. It's when we start to experience moments of our more grown-up self, our more mature self, our more spiritually mature self. And I'm not using that language for spiritual snobbery or anything like that. This is just explaining to you the process. So when you first start with spiritual alchemy, you're unaware. It's like not in your conscious awareness that all this deeper stuff is going on, right? That only comes to the fore as you're moving through these stages. So it makes sense then that when we have the fermentation stage and we've explored what's come up in our shadow and we've started to process that, we change. We change, and that change can't be undone. You can't unlearn what you've learned about who you are as a woman, as a man, as a person, as a private practice owner. You can't unlearn that. You can't, go back to being unconscious about that, especially because you've started to process things now. And so for that reason, we have this fermentation stage where you're now starting to integrate the new awareness that you have, okay? And what that looks like in your business is, if in the past, you know, you had these deep-seated feelings about being judged or not being good enough, and so as a result of that, you were doing shoddy marketing, or you were not really putting your heart and soul into your marketing, or you were holding back, playing small, playing safe, all those sorts of things. Well, in this fermentation stage, when it comes to your marketing now, you're going to approach it differently because as you've kind of grown up, if you like. You have matured, like you have gone up a level in your spiritual awareness. You have expanded, you have grown. When I was looking at this, somebody gave an example of the fermentation stage being very much like a beginning of rebirth. And she described it as thinking about almost how, you know, when you make wine, you have to like kill the grape, like the grape dies, and it makes way for its death. The death of the grape makes way for the birth of the wine. Okay. And then when we go to drink the wine, we see that the wine has been refined. So this is kind of a metaphor that's used in the community, in the spiritual community, to explain the stage of fermentation. Stage six of spiritual alchemy is when we're looking at further purification, and this is called the distillation stage. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because you can connect this back to the wine analogy, but I won't, don't worry. But it's distillation is when you have, you know, like I was talking to somebody recently about shelf awareness, that idea of, well, you read all of the things, you read all of the books, and then you put them on your shelf and you don't implement anything. That's shelf awareness. Distillation is saying, let's not be shelf aware. Let's actually make conscious choices, make conscious changes, consciously tune in to that voice inside, that higher power, that higher purpose, that higher self, the soul, the spirit, the source, or God, and act from that in a place that's most in alignment, most in accordance with that energy. Okay, so for that reason, yes, it's considered to be a further level of purification, because it's in a way finding ways every single day, small, medium, and big, that will allow you to live in alignment. So for me, what I do is I have, for my business, I set an intention every single day, and I set many, but I have one for the day, what I want to do for the day. But then before I have a phone conversation or a Zoom session with one of my clients, or before I write a post or a comment in a group or something like that, I'll always stop. Stop. This is the thing. You've got to kink the hose. You've got to remember to stop. That's the hardest thing, because you're on autopilot all the time, but we want to break the habit of the autopilot. We want to create a new neural pathway that allows you to stop, tune in, and say, you know, what can I share that would be in the highest good for myself and all others? Or how can I receive this or something better? Or it's tuning into that, okay? And when I say start with small things, it's like if you get up in the morning and your habit is to turn the percolator on and make yourself hot coffee and you have it. Well, I'm talking about myself here, right? My routine is I get up in the morning and I turn on my dripulator and I get out the almond milk, not because I'm being healthy, but because I love the taste of it. And I will make like this big mug of hot, fresh coffee. And that's my habit. When I remember to tune in, I will find myself walking over to the kitchen, over to the percolator, and then I'll tell myself, hang on, stop. And I will put my hand on my heart, because that's what works for me. I'll put my hand on my heart and I'll close my eyes and I'll ask the question in my mind's eye, what do I really need right now? And guess what? Often that what comes back is water. And so then you give gratitude and you say thank you, and you know, you open your eyes and you come back to the room, or in my case the kitchen, and you still keep the percolator going and make your coffee, but start with water. And so it's giving yourself the chance to build this muscle by starting with small things will then allow you to trust in using that muscle for bigger things at the practice, okay? So think about small things at the practice that you could do differently, that you could do more consciously in a way that aligns with where your higher purpose is at in that moment, okay? Maybe it's checking an email. Maybe it's responding to an email. Maybe it's writing that report. Maybe it's dealing with a difficult situation. But allow yourself space to tune in. Maybe it's just deciding what you're going to eat for lunch that day, okay? but allow yourself to tune in and practice, 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 practice. Make this tuning in your new habit, okay? From stage six, the distillation stage, we go into the last stage, which is called coagulation. So when we're in this state, what's happened is we have allowed ourselves to connect with the soul or to connect with the spirit. And this is very similar to that as me in the four stages of consciousness, the four levels of consciousness, in that in this stage of coagulation, we understand that the physical universe is not separate from us. It's not separate from our mind. It's not separate from our spiritual reality, that it is a reflection of it. And with that awareness, with that, you know, you've heard me say it before, like what you see around you in your practice today is you've manifested this. It's a direct manifestation. It's a direct outcome of your past thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and actions around the practice. If you've got no referrals, if you're sitting there in an empty room at the moment without referrals, this is a result of something you have done or you have not done, okay? You've manifested this situation for all sorts of reasons. But if you allow yourself to alchemize that energy and take it from that low vibe to that high vibe place using either the four levels of consciousness, which might be a easy place for some of you to start, or those of you who are feeling more competent and more ready and like you want to try this process, this seven-step process of spiritual alchemy, come here and try this. But that coagulation stage is you're saying and you're acknowledging everything you see around you, you created. Everything you see around you is your reality. It might not be mine, might not be your partner's, it might not be your children's reality. It is your reality and you created it. You are the creator of your reality, okay? And, you know, just to connect this back to neuropsych, for those of you who love the science, we know that our minds receive 300 million bits of information per second, but it's only capable of processing 2,000 bits of information. And it's our beliefs that become the filter for what information we need to receive. So this is why that spiritual alchemy process shows you experientially, holy cow, yeah, I am, you know, creating my reality here. I am choosing what I want to see. I'm choosing what I want to experience by the beliefs that I'm holding. And what I know now is I can change that. And I've got a process I can lean into. And the process really is nothing more than awareness, processing, sifting and sorting, being open to receiving, connecting with the guidance, implementing the guidance that comes through. Okay. So I hope that you've written down your seven stages and you'll be able to use this process to support you in your private practice. I have to go now because I've got a weekend of PD. I will jump into Facebook groups when I have my breaks and stuff like that. But thank you so much for listening. And also, I'm starting to tidy up my YouTube channel. I know. So please go over and check it out. It's just Brooklyn Storm. That's the name of the channel on YouTube. You will find all of the podcast episodes are on there. And my VA and I are in the process of uploading all my videos from all my different Facebook pages to there. So there's new videos going up every single week. And I would love for you to go and subscribe to that channel because I want you to have a one-stop shop for all of the content so that you don't have to check your email, check your podcast, check the Facebook group. Oh, check member vault. Where was it? Where did I see it? I know she did something. I just want to have a place where it's all there together for you. So it's easy for you to find when you need it. So go over and subscribe. I'll put a link to the channel in the show notes for you to make it super easy. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Private Practice with Soul. I love you so, 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 so much. And it feels so good to be back. Bye everyone. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.